I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
No, no.
Take a scalpel.
From the meat flaps to her knees, capital of the world, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John. Hello, John. Whoops, oh shit, it'd help if I turned up your mic.
Hello, hello, testing, hello, Dr. Steve.
And tonight we're having our all-girl review. We have in the studio the lovely Donna, who we found is an advocate of peanut butter dog biscuits. You'll have to listen to the show in September to find out what that's about. Hello, Donna.
Hello.
And we also have Wendy, who has had breast augmentation. It's awesome. Thank you, Wendy.
Hello.
And Kelly.
Hello.
Or Dr. K, sorry, who's also had breast augmentation. Okay, and then we have Jill, PA Jill, in the studio. Hello, Jill. I've got your mic up now.
Hello.
And she does not need breast augmentation. And we have Tacy in the studio, who is going to have a breast reduction.
That's right.
Otherwise called mutilation in my book. So now, we also have our studio audience. Who's not listening. It's okay. That's Eric. That's Dr. K's husband. He's our studio audience tonight.
He's already bored with us.
And we also have our Twitter listeners and our Ustream listeners. We are broadcasting live on Ustream. And if you want to give us a call, give us a call at 423-347-8884. That's 423.
Poo.
Nope,
head.
No, it's not. It's Die Tootie. Remember, this is the old number.
Die Tootie.
Okay, so it's 423.
Die Tootie. D-I-E.
3-4. Oh,
shit. T-E-T-T-U-T-I.
Anyway, it's up on the Ustream thing.
D-I-E-T-U-T-I.
There you go. Very good. And it's great to have P.A. John on a podcast. This is your first one, right?
Yes, it is.
And
it's good to be here.
Double Vasectomy Todd has been doing yeoman service, taking your place during the podcast, but we're glad to have you here. And just remember, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, whatever. Now, Dr. K is a chiropractor. And what were you saying, Tacy? Do you want me to say that, really? Okay. So also check it out with your pharmaceutical rep if you happen to be taking pharmaceuticals and have any questions about them. Okay, so there you go. That's an in joke. It's that two people in the studio got that. So
that's plenty.
I think we're. Normally, I have this Skype thing up, and I forgot to bring it up until the last minute. So if you've been trying to call and you're getting the voicemail, try again, and we'll take your call and see how that works. But anyway, we're new at this podcast thing. We've been doing the show. We can do a show, no problem. But running the telephones and trying to interact with people in the chat room, which I am not doing tonight, and also keep the conversation going is proving for me to be very difficult. So
it would probably be easier if you actually had something set up to where someone else could do it besides just you.
Yeah, that sounds good. And Tacy's whispering,
yeah.
So, which is great on a radio
show. One, I can't hear, first off, even if you were saying it.
Okay, don't write it. Just say it into the mic. If you got something to say, it's okay. Okay,
fat
she didn't want to.
Ass is what I heard.
All right. Fair enough. Maybe we won't put this one up on Stitcher. So, what have you got? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Worthless. Okay.
Sorry. Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Now, during the XM show, we were talking about breast augmentation and breast reduction. Now, we have two women in the studio who have had breast augmentation and one who wants to get a breast reduction done. And it's just interesting to me that people are, I guess, trying to meet in the middle. Tacy, you look at your mother and say, I don't want to end up like her. I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
And your mom has, I mean, God bless her, but she looks like a bowling ball on top of
to her knees.
A smaller bowling ball. And
they keep growing.
And they've never stopped growing.
No.
Now, when she was in high school, she was probably pretty hot because she had the big boobies and she was 18. And now her breasts never stopped growing. And you're feeling like maybe that's the direction you're headed.
What size would you guesstimate that she is if they haven't?
67 double Z.
I need to look at a bra, but I haven't.
They don't make one like that. I mean, you could fit your ass and your two thighs and most of your your knees in one of her bras.
When we are on vacation, I need to look.
Okay.
But it's not been convenient.
Well, she goes to a tent maker to get her bras made.
But honestly, most women that size don't even make bras that size.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
oh, that's all shoved in there. It's all shoved in.
I know. It's like they have like four butts above their chest, and it's not, the bra doesn't even fit. It's so weird when they're that size.
I used to work at Victoria's Secret, and one time there was a bra that was so large, I took one cup and placed it over my entire head just to see if I could get my head inside of the bra, and it fit with some room to spare. And I thought, man, this is a huge bra. I'd like to see the titties that go in this.
Liam and Beck wear my bras as hats all the time.
Can they fit their head in it?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Wow. They have little tiny heads.
They call them booby pads.
Well, they don't even make that big of a bra at Victoria's Secret. So.
No, I can't get one there.
They're kind of, yeah, they sort of...
This obviously
this must have
catered
spit.
To a certain clientele.
Well, it
think.
Was...
Wendy.
Usually you'll have the doghouses in the back where you'd actually put your bras, your panties, and teddies or whatever. And there was a special area that was not labeled specifically for a certain style or size, and that's where this bra was located. And I found it one day, and I was like, holy
so
cow.
So if some poor fat girl comes in there, they go, oh, your stuff is in the back.
Yeah.
Kind of like
with
that.
With P.A. John.
Yeah.
He'll wear it out
there
for you.
Go. Yeah.
I put it on my head and prayed around the store.
So, John, you never have told me, how did you get this job?
Yeah, honey, I've never seen a dude working at Victoria's Secret.
He's wearing pink.
He is wearing pink.
There you go.
I wish we had the video camera on.
Choice of color.
So. You and Donna are wearing the same color shirt tonight.
But I'm a girl.
That's right. You look much better than he does.
Whatever. Anyway.
He disagrees. All right.
I walked into the store one day with a girl I was dating. She struck up a conversation with one of the sales associates, and the girl turned to me and said, do you want a job here? And I said, really? And apparently the guy that was there in the stock room was getting deployed to one of the Gulf Wars, and so I took the job. And then I did the Christmas holiday, which is extremely crazy, in the back room of any Victoria's Secret.
I love that story.
It was crazy.
I thought you were kidding.
Yeah, I did too.
Is that how you met Jill?
No, I wish.
But that is where the perversion started. I can only imagine.
That's just where
it was there
acted
long
it out.
Ago. Exactly. Yeah. It was long before that.
And these poor women, and they're like, what's this dried stuff inside my bra?
that I just bought.
Dirty and unclean.
That I just bought from Victoria's Secret. And it's got P.A. John's DNA in it.
I will say that there was a sales associate at one of the stores that apparently not all the ceilings are completely finished with air conditioning vents as one would seem from the inside, and told me that if you could get through the ceiling, you could actually look down through the air conditioning vents onto the floor and other places.
In the dressing room?
That's kind of where I was going.
Seriously?
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, boy. I'm sure there have been plenty of, you know, changing rooms that have had these little internet cameras hidden in them all over the country.
But have you ever noticed that there aren't really beautiful women in Victoria's Secret? You see the Victoria's Secret models, but then you go by there and you're like...
Well, you know, there's women that look like that are really are... You know, if you go to the mall, you don't see women that look like Victoria's Secret model. No. And if you go to a concert, there might be one there, you know, and she's probably on the stage.
But I think that's part of the thing is that the model puts on the clothing, and then if you put on that clothing, then you can somehow be that beautiful. I think that's what the advertisers and the marketing is.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I know I don't look like her.
Well, but yeah. But here's the thing. 99% of people don't look like Victoria's Secret models.
Or Tom Cruise, you know.
But they want to, and that is the whole reason why they buy their stuff there and why they have these models like this, and it's just such a pressure for people, for women at least, to look that way. And it's an awful lot of work for somebody who is going to climb up the wall and into the ceiling to look at someone who's changing bras to see what bra fits.
Well, I always
if they're going to go to all that, then by God, I will show it to them. It ain't that pretty. I mean,
dance
they can
around
see it if
yeah,
they
look
want
at it.
To.
It but, is that pretty, honey. It's awesome.
I'd put on a show for them if they wanted, but that's a lot of work.
I never really could identify with the Victoria's Secret models. I always thought they were beautiful, but they seemed unattainable to me as a guy. They weren't good fantasy objects. Lane Bryant lingerie catalog was always way better than that.
It's a good fantasy object for regular women, Victoria's Secret. I mean, it's fantasy for everyone, and everybody wants to look that way. Everybody wants to have a girlfriend that looks that way.
No.
And in reality, well,
what,
of course,
John?
You're married to lovely
what?
Jill.
What, anorexic?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, exactly. Anorexic, no ass.
Big old titties.
Yeah, but at the same time, nothing that's all airbrushed. I mean, realistically.
Yes, I was a bathing suit model when I was 19 years old because I wasn't tall enough to do anything else. And seriously,
you got any
they
pictures?
Would measure me. Yes, they would measure me every time I would do anything. And if I gained 1 inch, they would be like, don't eat.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't count for boobage, though, right?
Right? Well, my boobs weren't that big then.
Okay, okay.
Remember, she got them after breastfeeding.
That's right. Well,
yeah.
The people who are listening now don't know that.
Right.
Donna is a very lovely, boobalicious Southern belle. And
thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. Thank you. No, thank you. But she gained, she had basically a breast augmentation by breastfeeding, which is very unusual. So you went from an A to a C.
A C.
Yep. And she's small framed, so those C's look pretty darn good. Now, what were you going to say, Wendy? Where did you have something you were going to say?
I was just asking audience. The audience is not participating at all.
The audience is looking for car parts.
Oh, is he looking through a catalog?
On his phone, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can also check out some of my Star Trek miniatures out there. And also there are Game of Thrones card games. And it's all kinds of really fascinating
stuff. Do you
need us to
flash you, baby? You want us to give you a big flash?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because you'll be flashing, P.A. John. Let's take some calls here.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Matt. I was just curious, as far as asthma goes, there's a lot of brush fires in my area recently, and, you know, the smoke in the air and whatnot makes it a little bit harder for some people to breathe. Now, if you use an inhaler, which is supposed to open up your lungs, doesn't that give you more smoke along with it. Just figured it kind of defeats the purpose. Just curious.
Yeah, now he's right. Here's the thing. It's a great question. You have asthma, you breathe smoke, your lungs start to close down, and you take an inhaler, right, and you open up your lungs, aren't you just going to get more smoke? And the answer is yes, but the problem with asthma is that the lungs are closing down out of proportion to the amount of insult that's there. So it's much better to have oxygen and smoke than to have no oxygen and less smoke.
I had asthma as a kid, so I'm like, that doesn't... Sorry, it made sense to you, but I was like...
Absolutely. So that's the answer to that. We've got a live call from 610 area code. You're on Weird Medicine Addendum with P.A. John and the All-Girl Review.
Good evening, Dr. Steve, P.A. John, and the ladies in the studio.
Oh, my God. I recognize that voice. It is, ladies and gentlemen, Brian from the Radio Freaks.
Now, hey, Brian.
Hi, folks. I just want to say, you mentioned Tacy's going to get a breast reduction and that a couple of the women in the studio have augmented breasts of one form or another.
Yes.
I would just like to say I'm a big fan of large breasts, as anyone can tell from my wife. And I don't care if they're a little bit saggy or misshapen. I just prefer natural boobs over fake boobs any day of the week.
Yeah, now these fake, I wouldn't call them fake boobs, these augmented breasts in the studio, yes, now they're grabbing them, and when they do that, looks pretty darn good to me. You know, they're trying to demonstrate to you how natural they actually
Believe
look.
Believe me, I wish I'd been blessed like your wife, and I wouldn't have had to fork out a big gob of money for them. I just wanted what she had, so.
Yeah.
And how come when I come down there, there's no girls in the studio grabbing their boobs? It's a fucking sausage fest.
You never asked. And I'm, you know, I like your wife. And she does have beautiful breasts, and I really like her. Please tell her hi.
I will do that. And she likes you guys, too. She really, we have a lot of fun when we come down there. But I just wanted to say that I think that, with all due respect, Tacy's breasts are beautiful, and she should leave them the way they are.
But
she's in pain.
There was a time when I totally was on your side on this one, but she's converted me. And the thing that I did, Brian, was, we talked about this on the XM show tonight, that I've got this picture of Katy Perry from the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and her boobs are smaller than Tacy's, but if he can make them look like that, I'm all in. And Tacy said that she was okay with that. We were able to meet in the middle on this one. So I'm good to go on this breast reduction. Because, look, number one, she complains constantly about her big boobs. It's not only that it takes 5 minutes for her to come into a room because her boobs get there before she does, but it's that she gets untoward attention from men. She's the booby girl at the gym. You know, that's what they call her. And she's just uncomfortable. She can't buy bras that fit her. Yeah,
what do you have to say?
I have to say that I will tell you that she does not want to go from a double F to an A.
No.
She wants to go from a double F to a D.
Yes.
And she wants to wear a cool shirt and a great swimsuit.
And no bra.
And no bra. And wants to be comfortable and look good in it.
I'm all in
on
that.
And you know what? That's what she needs to feel comfortable with.
You know, Brian, I'm going to Katy Perry tits, and nobody can complain about that.
That's right. Nobody can
complain
about that.
And if it turns out good,
I mean, who doesn't
love
Katy Perry tits?
And
I'm just saying, it's just so long as you're not... They're doing a lot of good things with breast augmentation these days. And as long as they look natural and still look nice, then, I mean, that's fine. But you have women out there that get, like my friend H. Cup Jane, who has basketball-sized titties. There's just no need for that. I would rather have a nice-looking A cup than have H cups like that. I don't get it. I love her to death, but they're just a little ridiculous.
H cup Jane had breast implants?
No.
I didn't know.
Who is H?
H cup Jane is she's co-host of what? Unlearn TV or what? Can you plug them? It's Rich.
Yeah, it's Unlearn the Show. Actually, they're on right now.
Oh, Unlearn the Show. Oh, are we competing with that? I didn't mean to do that.
Hey, can you get a Katy Perry ass augmentation too?
Huh?
I was talking to Tacy. Can she get a Katy Perry ass augmentation too?
John, I get one plastic surgery every year and a half, and so I'll have to pay this off first. If Mr. Insurance pays it off, then yeah, maybe so.
Mr. Insurance, also known as Dr. Steve.
And Aetna.
I'll tell you, Tacy had a tummy tuck, and I was not completely thrilled with the idea, but now that it's been done, I'm all in with certain plastic surgeries. That was very successful. It made her boobs look bigger. This is one of the reasons why we're getting the boob reduction.
It is the reason, yes.
Because it made her, she seems more out of proportion now than she did.
But babies destroy your body, and there's all this loose skin that no amount of exercising or sit-ups or crunches can fix, and you just get it cut off. And then I remember after my tummy tucks, I would walk in to work, and they'd be like, well, honey, did you get a boob job for Christmas? And it's like, no, yeah. I got a tummy tuck for Christmas. But my boobs look twice as big, and I think
that's because her waist looks so teeny now.
Yes, and I have something to add to that.
Yeah, go.
That's probably part of the reason why I gained a chest, and it turned out better because I had a premature baby that only weighed 3 pounds. I only gained 10 pounds with my pregnancy. So I gained it. That 10 pounds was mostly in my chest.
Wow. And you never lost it.
So when I left the hospital, I was a size 5.
Yeah.
So
some women,
probably what happened.
I've known other women that had like a B or a small C that ended up with leather strop A's, you know, just hanging on their chest, too, after breastfeeding.
Like banana boobs.
Yeah.
But they had boobs, to get implants to fill the pocket up. Yeah.
Right. Now,
that reminded me of ring, 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 banana boobs. Banana boobs.
Very good, John. So, Tacy, do you mind giving out your measurements on the air? Just because I want to do a little math. Because I believe, this is Dr. Steve's theory, that it's the ratio between breast to waist size that is what's important. It's not the actual physical size of the
breast. I know, breasts. Steve, but I don't generally carry a tape measure around.
Okay. You don't have to do
34
it.
34FF.
Okay.
Wendy and I went to the jean store. I bought...
And it's all about the cup size. It's not the inch size. That inch size has nothing to do with anything.
It's all about around your back.
Because you can have a 38A and just be a big broad backed
monster
and
with
have
teeny,
nothing.
Teeny tits.
Right.
So, and my waist, I think, is a 31 because that's what the jeans I bought were. The rest of it, I honestly don't know. I have no ass, so if you check in that.
Yeah. See, my theory's no good because it really is the cup size rather than the inch size that
it's
makes
exactly
a difference.
Right.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're a 32FF, you still have great boobs.
But I'm a 32DD, so that kind of gives you an idea. They're not huge, but to go from a, you know, 32A-.
Well, I think I need to be measured. I don't think I'm a C then.
I'm a 36C.
I think I must be a D.
Hey, you're definitely a D. Let's measure her right now.
It's difficult to tell with the clothing on.
That's right.
I have a jog bra on.
Yeah, you like got a jogging bra and just a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Too much cotton.
Now,
and too much.
Basically, my hand is a D, so if you will just step over here. All right. Hey, Brian, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man.
All right.
And thanks for turning us on to this whole live podcasting crap, too. It's really been fun.
About goddamn time, that's what I say.
Go ahead.
More weird medicine.
Go ahead and plug your stupid crap.
My stupid crap? Tomorrow night on the Radio Freaks, Tig Notaro, Eric Griffin, and Penthouse Pet Princess.
Damn. I think Lainey Spicer doesn't like me anymore, too, because I didn't put one of her guests on, and now she won't answer my email. So let her know I still like her. I just, you know.
I will.
We have to
tomorrow night, 9 p.m., radiofreaks.tv.
Okay, thanks, cool, man. All right, have a good night.
You too.
Brian from
the
Radio
Brian.
Freaks. Wow. I guess it's sort of our first celebrity phone call. That's sad. All right, let's answer some more phone calls. And if you want to call in, the number is at the top of the screen on Ustream. It is 423-347-8884.
Di-tootie.
Do you want me to plug this?
Hey, Dr. Steve, listening to you live right now. My name's Ken from Florida. I'm just curious as to why my belly button smells like I just shit out of it. Happens every once in a while, and it's just disgusting here and there. So I was curious.
Okay.
That's really all I got to say. All right, thanks.
Okay, so his belly button smells like he shit out of it. There are a lot of things that can do that. One of them could just be a superficial infection. You know, he could have a skin infection or an abscess or something, but I would expect him to say that it hurt. So if this is a chronic thing that's been going on since he was born, now there are all kinds of embryonic structures that are supposed to disappear before you're born in this structure called the urachus. And the urachus is a embryonic structure that carried blood vessels and stuff from to the umbilical cord and to and from the umbilical cord. And it has a lot of different layers and structures. And every once in a while, you'll get a cyst in one of those things. And this cyst is just filled with dead skin and body fluids. And it could sit there for months to weeks to maybe even years. And then when it bursts open, it'll smell like horrifically rotten cottage cheese. And that may be what he's smelling. If it's something that's bothering him, he can get it checked out by a general surgeon, and they can just remove that structure, and that'll be the end of it. If it's stinking up the room and it's affecting his love life, it could, you know, you get down there and you're kind of, you know, messing around and getting all, and your nose gets right over somebody's belly button, and you get a whiff of that, it's going to turn you off big time. So he may need to get that fixed. If there's redness or pain, he's got to get it checked right now. What, Wendy?
Maybe he needs to take a shower.
Our studio audience made that same suggestion.
Oh, is that right?
Or maybe bodily fluids are collecting in his belly button.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, if he's just filthy. I mean, but I'm just, that's almost too easy. I'm just assuming that there's something more interesting going on.
I'm waiting for the follow-up phone call. Hey, Dr. Steve, I just wanted to call and let you know. I actually washed my belly button with some Dial soap, and shit smells gone.
There you go. Thanks for your advice. Right. Clean yourself.
Hello, doctor. I'm just recovering from a case of epididymitis. I'm not sure if that's the proper pronunciation, but I'm kind of wondering how I might have contracted that. Could it be from some sort of sexual contact, or would it be something else? You know, just before I got it, I had gotten a $15 blowjob about a week before. I've been wondering if maybe I should have paid more money. Thank you, Doc.
Where do you get a $15 blowjob in this day and age?
Well, here's one of the things is, okay, I think this goes back to one of our pet peeves.
Yep.
This guy apparently went and saw someone.
Yep.
Because he was having pain. Was diagnosed with epididymitis.
Right.
Was treated.
Yes. That's true, because he knew the
somebody
term.
Left the room, and that was all the information he got.
Yeah.
And he got received nothing more.
Yeah.
So, medical providers, if you're listening.
It is.
You've got to give. Otherwise, how would you know? Yeah. Exactly. How does anybody know what their epididymis is, unless you've been to a doctor?
You've got to give the people information.
Wait, I need to know what that is.
Okay, we're going to tell you. Let's back up. That, John, that is a great, great point, and I think that's what we need to focus on this. We'll answer his question. The epididymis is a collection of tubules on the back side of the testicle on the upper pole. It's where the all the tubes from the inside where they're producing sperm all collect, and then that hooks up to the vas deferens, which is the tube that you then clip if you're going to do a vasectomy, okay? And that goes up into the body, and that sperm gets from the nut to the vas deferens and into the semen through the epididymis. And the problem with the epididymis is it's just sort of hanging by a thread, and it can get irritated really easily. So he's asking, how did he get it? Probably not from the blowjob, although sexually transmitted diseases can ascend sometimes and cause inflammation in the prostate, which then can be transmitted to the epididymis. So that's a possibility. He can get it from vigorous sex, where you're slamming your nutsack against the pelvic bone of a woman over and over and over and over and over again.
Or chin of a $15 prostitute.
Okay. Good point taken, my friend. So those are all, those are the things that you can hit it up, but just, you know, something benign like doing heavy lifting or jogging without a jock strap where your nuts are just getting slammed around all the time. Vigorous basketball.
So does it have anything to do with playing with yourself?
It could happen if you were really overly vigorous.
Jacking off too hard.
Yeah. Yeah, or jacking off in weird ways, you know, where you're somehow, again, pounding your nuts against something hard over and over and over again. So that's a possibility. So that's how he got it. Most doctors, urologists, will treat this with antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, and sitz baths, where you let your nuts float. And they'll treat it with antibiotics because there is a certain percentage of these that are bacterial related, and it's worth treating with an antibiotic.
And also recommending a jock support.
Absolutely. If you're wearing boxers, wear jockeys. If you're wearing jockeys, wear a jock strap. And that's the best thing you can do for epididymitis, to take the pressure off of the epididymis, which again is just sort of where the cord is attached to the nut, and it's just hanging there, and they're just slapping around, swinging all over everywhere,
especially on a hot, steamy day. And if
right.
you're
when you have
married to Dr. K, then you know it's hanging low.
I might pay more than $15.
Yeah, well, that's what he
said. First.
He said, "Should I have paid more money?" Which I thought was a great line. So, we'll save that one for the XM show. That's too good of a call to pass on.
Absolutely.
But I think John's initial remark was the most important one.
Choked you up?
No, it's these damn allergies. Are you not
going to cry?
Are you not dying of allergies these days? It's killing me.
No, I stopped taking allergy medicine and all my allergies went away. I think it's the drug companies trying to push drugs on us.
You're an ass.
Another retard statement, maybe the first of the podcast, but not the first of the night.
I will tell you that Dr. Steve recommended.
Yeah, that's
second
right.
Second retard statement.
Recommended.
Hey, Tracy, we don't use the R word on this
no,
show.
We try
okay,
to avoid
go ahead.
I mean, he told me that I should maybe think about Singulair, and I've done it for 3 weeks.
Singulair rocks. I would be 10 times worse right now if it wasn't for that. That's how bad I used to be. So, yeah, Singulair is a great drug.
I used to use Claritin,
yep.
And then I went to Singulair, and then over the last 2 years, I guess I haven't focused on that. I haven't had any significant allergies bad enough to where I felt like I needed to use anything.
Yeah. Well, they're killing me right now. I had to use my inhaler before the first show, and I'm about an hour and a half in, and I'm losing my voice. But I think what John initially said in this case was that this guy got shitty information from his doctor, that he got, you have epididymitis, and just kicked him out. Gave him a couple of prescriptions, didn't tell him any more than that, didn't tell him where he got it, didn't tell him how it happened. I used to always draw out a picture of the testicle and the epididymis and kind of show people where it was.
Did you draw a cock with it? I mean, was it limp or hard?
No, I didn't draw a penis with it. I would just draw
small.
The testicle. But it would...
is your raging hard-on with your
$15. I am so
prostitute.
Not posting this podcast on Stitcher. I'm just throwing that out there. This is a one and done. So once it's done, I'm erasing it. But when shitty information from a doctor is one of our pet peeves. It's just so ridiculous that this poor guy had to call us to get information about what he's got, and it's really a simple thing to explain. So I'm very disappointed in the communication that's going on in a lot of doctors' offices today. Now, I know that's not happening in chiropractic offices. Is that right, Dr.
Nopey, nopey.
Now, you guys...
It definitely doesn't happen in pharmaceutical sales at all.
No, there's a lot of
absolutely
communication.
Absolutely not.
But, you know, how much time do you take with each patient? Dr. K is a chiropractor.
I typically, like for a first visit, you're going to spend at least 45 minutes with me.
Yeah.
For me to go over your history and see what your problem is. And if x-rays are necessary, we will do them. And then I'll read the x-rays and bring you back the next day for your follow-up visit. And each treatment depending on, I do my own therapy. I don't have any physical therapist. I do my own physiotherapy. So it may be, it's usually at least 8 to 15 minutes per session.
Yeah, okay.
So, and but if you need longer time, my patients know that if you need to be there 30 minutes, then people can wait because they're okay with that because they know when they come back that they're going to get the same time with me.
Okay.
But that's a huge pet peeve of mine too. People don't explain. They don't show the x-rays. They don't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
They have no concept of what's, you know, what their problem is. And yeah. If you don't understand what's going on, you can't get better.
We are going to lose our status in this country as being a respected profession if we don't stop tapping on our effing keyboards with our stupid EMRs that the only reason they're there is to improve our billing.
Right.
Yep. And start making eye contact with our patients again and explaining shit to them.
I mean,
old school.
My primary care physician uses a computer, and I went in for a visit actually on Friday thinking I had a UTI.
Mm-hmm.
They told me I'd gained 7 pounds.
Okay.
That I was dehydrated,
yeah.
Which I'd had like over half a gallon of water before I went in there,
yeah.
And said that, you know, you need to stop your sodium intake. Well, you guys know me. I don't eat poorly. So that was, I was just so frustrated that it, like the average person, and they told me my blood pressure was 150 over 98.
Yeah.
And I went back to my office and had my partner, another chiropractor, check it. And it was 112 over 72,
yeah.
Which is normally what it runs.
Yeah.
And I was so angry.
They use a machine to do your blood pressure?
No, they did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she's like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, I've seen you before numerous times. I'm not nervous at all.
Yeah.
But I'm just frustrated because the average patient goes in there and they say, oh, I've gained weight. My blood pressure's up. I'm not eating correctly.
Right. Oh, all those things that make you some money to get people to come back into the office.
Exactly. It really frustrated me. And I said, you know what? I'm a chiropractor. I live extremely clean and healthy.
Yeah.
I know I haven't gained 7 pounds. I'm wearing the same size pants I wore the last time I was here in May. And why are you telling me this? It's just frustrating. Don't try this crap on me because I know
yeah.
that I'm healthy.
But you do know that your profession is accused of doing the same shit, though.
Oh,
that,
my God. My
you know,
profession
if you go,
is the worst.
If you go to
you
a
right
chiropractor,
now.
You're going to get a course of 16 visits
exactly.
once a week.
And you that's ridiculous. Anybody that tells you I can fix you in 30 visits, they're a moron. You don't know what it's going to take to help a patient.
Right.
And, I mean, I may see you 2 visits and you're great, or I may see you in 1 and say, I can't help you. I need to refer you.
Yeah.
So I'll agree. Our profession is horrible for shysters.
Yeah, no, ours
I'm
is too.
I'm telling you. I mean, so. And people don't see that with your profession, but
yeah, they do.
I mean, with ours, it's definitely we're accused of it. And there's several people I would never see for that reason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What's the malpractice situation with your profession? I mean,
people
love
to
sue MDs. How about?
Do you want to know, like, how dangerous we are?
Or OD. You're an OD, not a DO,
no,
right?
No, DC.
DC. Sorry.
Yeah.
C.
That's fine.
What's an OD? Oh, that's an optometrist.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Would you like to know how much I pay in malpractice? Probably less than you do for your car insurance, which
really?
Tells you how dangerous I am as a professional.
Right.
Really.
Right, right.
I mean, I think my malpractice after 13 years of practice, which, you know, each year you're in practice, it costs more.
Right.
Is $230 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, because we're so dangerous. We're going to kill you with a stroke or something else. So
I
love to quote that to people because they think, you know, coming to a chiropractor, you're going to get hurt. They're going to break your back mm-hmm. or some kind of crazy stuff. But you look, insurance does not lie. When you see what you pay,
right.
it tells you how dangerous we are.
I went to a chiropractor once, and this guy, I wanted him to do more to me. I wanted him to crank my back and stuff. He had these little thumpers, and he would just sort of thump my back with these little rubber things. And, weirdly enough.
Did you actually see the thumpers?
Yeah. It was not a fleshy appendage. It was actually a little machine that he used. But, I felt much better afterwards. You know, that's one thing that chiropractic's been proven in the medical literature to be successful in is low back pain. So, you know, there's other things that obviously that you can do, but that's that's been without a doubt in the medical literature has been proven that chiropractic is efficacious for that. So much better than what we do, which is give pills. We're allopathic physicians. We give pills. Now, John and PA Jill are now doing orthopedics, so you guys get to do some real bone cracking with saws and
screwdrivers
and stuff.
Drills and all kinds of stuff.
Hey, Dr. Steve. Name, George. Location, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Age, 52, hobbies, gardening, vices, smoking too much, everything. I want to know, should I become a priest? I went to the doctor 2 years ago because I had big balls. No pain, nothing, just big balls. The doctor told me he's going to shine, some kind of light is going to shine, and it shone through, so I don't have cancer. I think I have something with the word sperm in it, spermatosis, I don't know. I Googled the thing, but it's in U.S. terminology, I don't know, you know. What can I do surgically, if anything? And also, tell me, if I need a pee-pee tube, you know, a tube you stick in your dick, I'm going to become a priest. The hell with everything. Describe what that actually is, that procedure. Love your show, no bullshit. You did a 3-hour show, and really, from Canada, you need a 3-hour show, man.
Okay, man. I'm saving that call for the XM Show 10. That's a great call. What he has is big, giant testicles. And he went to the doctor, and this is another example where they didn't explain anything to him. And now this is Canadian healthcare that he's talking about, but and we don't have much experience with that. But he's talking about the fact that the doctor took a light and shined it behind, and it shined through. And as P.A. John most astutely said on our first show, looks like E.T.'s finger. And when that happens, that means that whatever you shined it through is clear. So this guy almost certainly has a hydrocele.
It sounds like he's saying this.
But he said it's had something with sperm in it, so it could be a spermatocele, but it could be a misdiagnosis, too. Right. So these are benign collections of fluid in the scrotum that can be surgically removed if necessary, but it's not always necessary to remove them. If your nuts, or if they're so big that you can't fit your nuts into a pair of jockey shorts, then you should probably do something about it. So he needs to go back, get in line. It may take him a few months to get in because it's not an emergency in Canada. But if he will see a urologist, they can fix that for him. What? Can you just what? You're just this is a radio show. You can't
just
make hand gestures.
Can you just get off and get that out?
No. If he it's not connected to his it's not connected to the tubes that make semen, so you know it's not possible. So he can masturbate all he wants, and it won't decrease them, but probably won't enlarge them either. So, all right. Did you guys have fun? Thank you guys for being here.
Yes, yay!
We've had the all-girl review. Thank you, Dr. K, Wendy, Donner, Tacy, PA Jill. Thanks, P.A. John, as always. Pretty good little feller. I file.
Sometimes.
I
thanks,
file,
audience. Hey.
And thank you. Thanks, Eric. And I always file John's stuff under G for good old John. So y'all have a good night. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemails and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at weirdmedicine.com. Check out our merchandise. And if you're listening right now, all I can say is you will never hear this show again. So.
And we're sorry.
All right. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, get some exercise. We'll see you in another week for the next edition of Weird Medicine Addendum. And become comfortably numb.